open spaces, grace is waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, grace is waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom. Yes, let His freedom reign. Bring all of the burdens, bring all of the scars. Come back to His grace is waiting.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom.
Come out!
Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love.
Till I met you.
Come on.
I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my sin.
Oh, it was. I'm
till I met you. That's right, it was. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name. Your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. Oh, what a day! Hey, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Day, I want you to give him a big praise. Hallelujah! Oh. I needed rest, my sin was heavy. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my king.
There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and the blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles.
Oh, this is how we find our
battles. This is how I.
Follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battle. And I
believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song up. Praise for all you've done.
Come on.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I.
Come on, shout. Hey.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles.
This is how I find my battles.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I.
Something bigger.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I. This is how I find my. Find my battles.
Hallelujah. Overcome it all, Jesus.
This is how we fight my battles. This is how I 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 fight my battles. I fight my battles. Oh Jesus, how I fight my battles. This is how I. Oh hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you.
When This morning. Let's make ourselves available in this place for God to do something spectacular. Set our hearts on you, Jesus. Come and do what you do.
Come and do what you do. We need move.
We need move. We need move. Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. Cause yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. Come on, lift him up. The bodies are still being raised. Come on. Giants are still being slain.
This place, amen. How many of you would say this morning that you need God to move in your life? Why don't you just lift up your hand? There's hands all over this place. And I just want to remind you of a scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says this, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. You cannot even imagine the good things that God has in store for you right now, right here in this moment. So I want you to lift up your hands all over this place because God is moving. Miracles do happen. I want you to sing that part again, that miracles happen in this room. And I want you to just look to your left and to your right because there's many people in your row that need a miracle right now. And God is moving. God wants you to receive your miracle this morning. So I want you to build up your faith. I want you to begin to praise and give thanksgiving to God because right now your miracle can happen. Amen. So I want you to sing that. Come on, let's pray. Let's believe. God, we worship you. Hallelujah.
Heaven is coming.
Come on, miracles happen.
Miracles happen when you move.
Yeah.
worship you. Let's begin to just worship him. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. God, we thank you that you are moving on our behalf here this morning. God, I believe that there are miracles that need to happen in this house here this morning. And God, we say thank you in advance for your healing power. God, we thank you, Father, that you are going in from the left to the right, to the balcony, to the front. God, and that you are healing bodies all over this room. God, I praise you and thank you, Father, that there's not one battle that we have to go through on our own. But God, you go with us. You go before us. God, you help us. You fight for us. And we thank you for that. God, we just give you praise. We give you all of the honor and all of the glory here this morning. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. You guys can have a seat. God is moving. Amen. I'm so excited for what God is doing all over this place. And it's so wonderful to see everybody here this morning on a beautiful snowy day. Amen. You're all excited for another snowstorm. I can see it all over your faces. I know you're not, but it's okay. You did a good job pretending, so I'm proud of you for that. But Charleston Church, I just want to welcome you here this morning. And if you are our first-time guests, can you help me welcome all of our first-time visitors here today? We are so happy that you chose to spend this snowy day with us. And in the seat back in front of you, you will find a card that looks like this. This is called a Connect card. Take that out right now, fill it out, and in just a few moments when the ushers come, you can put that in the buckets that will go across the aisle there in just a moment. I would also like to welcome Dwayne DeJohn. If you're here today, could you please stand? Dwayne just got back from two tours from the military, and we want to honor you this morning. Say thank you so much. Charleston Church loves all of those that serve in the military, that go and fight for our country, and we say thank you and welcome home. It's good to see you this morning. Well, we have a lot of things coming up here over the next few weeks because of the snow. There is no Better Together service tonight, but don't be too sad because next week it is rescheduled. So make sure that you mark your calendars for next Sunday night. We'll be having the Better Together service. Same thing, same fun. Everything's going to be great, but it's just a week later, okay? So make sure that you plan to come. So next Sunday morning, you'll be able to get those t-shirts. Make sure you get them in the morning service and wear them next Sunday night. They look pretty cool. The Better Together, right? Yes. Okay, and then the following week, or actually in a few weeks past from there, we are going to be having a friend day. Now, over the past few weeks, as I've been praying and asking the Lord to help me to invite some friends to this service, God's really placed something on my heart about an empty seat. And I just wanted to share it with you because if you look in the building here today, you'll see a few empty seats. And in our youth department, it's the same way. But the Lord just kind of showed me that that empty seat represents a soul. And so I just wanted to encourage every single one of you. Maybe you have an empty seat next to you here this morning. And if you would just ask the Lord to help you to invite that friend to come to Friend Day, I can tell you it's going to be an awesome service. So we just want to encourage you to invite your friends to that service that day. And then April 19th, everybody say April 19th. April 19th, we're going to be having a Good Friday service at the Gracie Theater in Bangor. We want to encourage you to go online and get your tickets. They're free, but seating is limited. So if you want to go to cchurch11a.info, you can get a ticket there, or you can visit us on our website. And that is it for our announcements this morning. So ushers, if you would come down This morning, we're going to take up our tithe and offering. And I just wanted to share a scripture with you. It's found in Deuteronomy 15:10. And it says this, "Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." I just wanted to encourage you this morning as you give your tithe and your offering that I love the word of God because he promises, he tells us if we give our tithe and our offering that he is going to bless your hands. He's going to bless what you do. And maybe you're here this morning and your finances, maybe you're struggling in that area. But I just want to encourage you here this morning that as you give in your tithe and your offering, that the word of God says that he will bless you in everything that you do. So let's just pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for your presence that is here. And Lord, I pray, God, over our finances for the different families in this service and for this church, Father. God, we thank you that as we give, as your word says, God, that in return you give to us, Father. God, that you bless our hands. And Lord, I pray over every family that's maybe struggling in finances. God, we know, Father, that you can help us, that you provide for us, and that you are a faithful God. So we say thank you to you for that. God, and we thank you that you're going to just bless this offering and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
The chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross had spoken, I am forgiven. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together, if you would, please. And on the count of three, give God the biggest hand clap of praise you've ever given Him before. Come on, let's do it appropriately. That's better. That's better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Mighty God. Mighty God. Hallelujah. While you're standing, would you take your Bibles and open them to the book of Luke? The book of Luke. Praise God. Welcome again to those of you that are joining us online and those of you that are visiting today. You know, I don't want it to snow on Sunday. I like it to snow all the other days, except Wednesday for youth group, Thursday for Elevate. Any other day, we got something going on for church. But I don't mind snow like from Sunday at midnight right through Wednesday morning and then stop. But on the other side, I do like it when it snows because there's a different hunger amongst the people when there's some weather to travel through. You just respond differently. You know, God responds to hunger. He doesn't respond to attendance, but He does respond to hunger. And there's a special hunger here today. I believe God's going to do something special. We're going to end with some time in prayer together as a church for some of our church family that is relying on our prayer today. And so we'll be ending our time together that way. Okay? Tonight will be church. Come see us tonight. The Lord has given me something, even this morning, inspired to share with you. I think it's going to help everybody that attends and tunes in. Luke chapter 14. Are you there? I'm sorry, I didn't even tell you, did I? I just said the book of Luke. I mean, you got a one in over two, over, what is it, 24 chapters in Luke? All right, it's Luke chapter 14, if you can find it, or if you want to, you look up on the wall behind me. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Let me just stop right here, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Is there anybody here for the very first time today? Just raise your hand. You're here for the very first time. All right, here, over here, over here. I think that's awesome. Over here. You're my kind of people. Like, when you get up in the morning, you don't ask the meteorologist what you can do today and what you can't do. Like, these people got up today and said, I'm going to church. I don't care what's going on today. That's awesome. And the rest of you are that way. That's my kind of people. But, and then I think it's hilarious. You came on a snow day. You get extra points from God. He just told me, you get extra points. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. That's being courageous, or what we'd call just being a meaner. All right, Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." This guy was kind of pompous. And Jesus replies with this kind of story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. "It's snowing out," one said. "I have to plow my yard." That's in the Greek. In verse 19, another guy said, "I just bought 5 plow trucks and I want to try them out. Excuse me." Where was I? Oh, another one just said, "I just bought a snowblower and I must inspect it. Please excuse me." You have no imagination. You have no imagination. Another said, "I just bought 5 brand new shovels and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married. I can't come." That one don't need any help right there, because everybody knows there's a woman to blame. And I know, okay, there's a woman to blame. There have been men blaming women ever since the beginning, and it hasn't stopped. Verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said, and his master was furious. He said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, those who are in need, the crippled, those who need help, the blind, those who need direction, and the lame, those who need support." After the servant had done this, he reported, "But there's still more room at the table." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house and the table will be full. For none of those that I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet." I'm telling you today, God wants to fill his table. Jesus, speak to every one of us. Help me not to get in the way, but Lord, just encourage somebody today. Lord, don't let my thoughts replace yours, but let your thoughts become what we all understand, and let it be clear to everybody. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to ask you a question. Does anybody have in mind what a dream job would be? How many of you have in mind what a dream job, like, how many of you have imagined what a perfect job would be? Just raise your hand. Like, that would be a dream job. The rest of you just pushing through. How many of you are working your dream job? How many of you are in your dream job? Wow. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. That's really good. This guy that we read of today, I think he kind of had a dream job. And if you would just let your imagination accept the story. This guy is employed by a very wealthy man. And I don't know what his business is, but his interest is preparing big banquets and hosting people and feeding people for free. And apparently he's probably a busy guy, so he hires somebody, a professional inviter. He is a paid professional inviter. When he gets up in the morning, his job is to get the invitation list, and because he didn't have everybody's cell number back then, he went from house to house, business to business, place to place, and said, "Hey, guess what? The boss man said that you're invited for a free dinner." I think people probably thought, is this a timeshare deal? No timeshares involved. It's just a simple invitation to an incredible feast. Would you please come? That's all he does. That's this dude's job description. Get the invitation list, find people to invite, and tell them where to get the food. That's it. That's all you do. How many would do that if they paid you to do that? If you got paid to do that? Seriously. A third of you didn't raise your hand. Seriously, if Jesus was here, he'd raise his hand. If you were paid to invite people and you got paid well, how many of you would do that for a decent wage? All right, that's all right. How many would do that voluntarily? Remember that. See, the reason some of you didn't raise your hand because you already are suspicious of me and everything I do, and I'm cool with that. You're listening, so I'm cool with that, really. So he goes out with this list of people, and he runs to them, and one guy has got oxen, another guy's got a field, another guy's got a wife, and all of them can't come. And the inviter goes back to his boss, and he's like, boss, man, I'm so sorry. I think I could brush up on my inviting skills. I'm sorry. I did the best I could to persuade them to come, to have something you already prepared for them. Boss, man, I did the best I could. And the boss is angry. But he's not angry at the professional inviter. He's angry that he put so much work into something, and he prepared it for certain people, and he did everything he could for the certain people to have it, but they were too distracted. Makes him mad. Makes him unhappy. So he says to the professional inviter, all right, now I'll tell you what we'll do. I want you to go find the cripple, the lame, the blind, and the poor. Now, just put yourself in the shoes of the professional inviter, and remember, if the first crowd that was invited were invited, they could bring up their own vehicles, air-conditioned, superior transportation. This first crowd that's invited has table manners. They know how to party. They know how to be served. They know how to dress. They know how to speak. They know where the fork goes. They know where they know how to feast because they've been trained in it. This isn't their first invite, I'm sure. But now the professional inviter knows, wait a minute, the cripple, the blind, the lame, the poor, that means we're going to need to get Sunday school bus drivers. That means we're going to have to get people that are going to have to fund the Uber to give them a lift. No humor's wasted on you, I'll tell you that. We're going to have to labor to get these people here. Then when they get here, they're not going to know how to behave. They're not going to know how to behave. Now we're going to have special hospitality and special ushers and special greeters. And boy, we better keep the security team up because there is a group here looking for money. They're poor. Oh, this is going to take a lot of work. But the professional inviter knows his job description, so he runs out because he doesn't want his boss to be unhappy. And his boss already told him, hey, before he goes, listen, I promise you, I'll keep the food warm if you'll go find who have I've asked for a second. And so he runs out and he brings in a crowd of people that are crippled, people that are lame, people that are blind, people that are poor, and they begin to sit around the table. And the inviter's like, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be like the Beverly Hillbillies. This is going to be tough. And they just begin to eat. And the poor are like, I could have never afforded this. The blind say, I've never been to a place like this. The cripples said, they never gave me access to this. The lame said, I can't believe that there are people willing to get involved to help me to get what has been offered to me. And as the feast boss sees them enjoying their meal so much, it seems like it's the first time he's had anybody of a lower tax bracket in his house, says to the professional inviter, okay, now I want you to go out, but this time, I don't want you to stay in town. I want you to go out into the country. Come on, how many know that's where God's people live? I want you to go out into the country. I want you to go out into the byways. I want you to go where your phone won't even tell you. Locating. And I want you to find people that we've never met before to get at my table. And the professional inviter goes out, and these people are not necessarily in bad shape. These just are people that they've never met. And so I can imagine in my imaginator that around this table are some Beverly Hillbillies and some upscale people. The Kardashians are around this table. Hello, the Rockefellers are around this table. I'm telling you, everybody, Democrats in politics, and Republicans, I mean. Democrats, I mean, okay, sorry, Lord, I shouldn't even gone there. Everybody from every stripe is around that table. And the boss says to the inviter, "You did a good job. This is all I ever wanted. All I ever wanted was for my table to be full. That's all I ever wanted." Watch this, okay? The owner was responsible for the meal. The inviter was responsible for the people. So, now you're thinking, that's a cool story. What in the world does that mean? The story is a picture that we've been preaching, is that the table is a physical illustration of the local church. The guy that owns the feast and the table is God. The food that we eat is a relationship with Christ and His church. And the inviter are people who follow Christ. I know. It's hard to believe I even study for this stuff. But it really is that simple. Watch, please, somebody. God has already prepared the meal, and He already has a whole bunch of people in mind. That's whoever. He'll provide the meal, He'll provide the seat, but He won't invite the people. That's our job. But what a job it is. We're not inviting them to the electric chair. I used to have a buddy of mine, he had like four cows and three horses, and in his home, they rotated chores. And the only time he asked me to stay the night at his house, when it was his turn to clean the barn. He was an inviter. I'm telling you, dead Christians invite people to nothing but... you know what I'm talking about. But when we invite people, we're not inviting them to a table of judgment. We're not inviting them to a table of you're no good and you're so blind and you're so lame and you're so crippled and you're so poor. No, no. We're inviting them to the table to say at the master's table, there are no blind, poor, lame. There are no rich and up. Everybody's the same at the table of God. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're not inviting people to a life of sorrow. We're inviting people to a life of satisfaction, a hope. We're not serving up judgment and criticism. We better not. We're serving up life, forgiveness. Come on, somebody. Healing, direction. The Lord ain't done me nothing but good. He gets sweeter as the days go by. I never shall forget the day that He washed all my sins away. Are there any old timers left in this embryonic church? What I'm saying is, He gets sweeter as the days go by because I stay at the table. But anybody that gets at the table and eats needs to understand, God doesn't ask us to live at the table. He causes us to come to the table, but next time bring somebody, like Kelly said, to fill our seat. How many of you know somebody that needs to come to the table that doesn't have a relationship with God or His church? Guess what? There's still room. Turn to your neighbor, if you would, please. Preach, help me a little bit. Tell them, there's still room. I want to give you a really cool visual illustration. Watch this. Because there is, I've never done this before, but there is a group of people that are in this church, particularly handsome. Like all the people that come here. And because they kind of reflect the pastor. And no, I say that with all humility. But one person brings another person. I need you to realize you're not called to just be saved from hell and then someday go up to get to heaven. You're called to be a bringer, an inviter. Watch. I want Marisha to come. Where's Marisha? Marisha, you sit anywhere you want at the table. Any seat that you want, I will. This is Marisha. Everybody say hello, Marisha. Marisha, how did you get invited to church?
We came to Mega Sports.
Came to Mega Sports Camp. So there was a Mega Sports Camp, which is a children's ministry. I think Kelly did it at the time. And it was at the public school here in Corinth, where little kids could come and be trained by very out-of-shape people. We're Pentecostal. It's true. And so, when Marisha came, Dan came. Dennis, sorry.
It better not.
No, that's his brother. No, we don't do that. Other religion. All right. Yeah, come on up, Dennis. I don't know who came first. I just saw her first on my list. So Dennis. Everybody say hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Have a seat, Dennis. Dennis is a fireman.
Mom, I'm on TV.
Sit down. Anywhere you want. Marisha and Dennis and Marisha, invited Dan and Amy. Come on up. Come on up. Everybody say hi to Dan and Amy. Come on up to the table. There's a place for you at the table. We had an empty table until sports camp. But because of sports camp, Dennis and Marisha came to the table. When they came to the table, they said, hey, we should invite Dan and Amy. And Dan and Amy came to the table. Well, when Dan and Amy came to the table, they invited Ruth and Alvin. Where's Ruth and Alvin? Come on up here. Everybody say hi to Ruth and Alvin. And they're fun family, too. Come on.
Thank you.
Hello, Alvin.
Hi,
this is sweet. Yeah, this is... Dennis is the hospitality team. Well, we couldn't have made it any harder for you to get to the table, but all right, we need a bigger platform. Ruth and Alvin invited David and Dottie. David and Dottie came to the table. Everybody say hi to Dave and Dottie.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Don't be a Dave.
I know that commercial. That's such a Dave thing to say. You had to have heard the commercial. Well, Dave and Dottie invited their son and daughter-in-law, but they didn't come at the first invitation. So they invited their grandson named Ben. Come on, Ben. Stand here with me, Ben. Ben was going to Kids on the Move. His mom and dad weren't coming yet, but Graham and Gramps said, we're going to outsmart those kids of ours, and we're going to entice our grandson, because how many know God has more than one way to get to your family? Some of you have counted them out. Don't ever count them out, because there could be a Ben in the midst. Ben's looking sharp.
Thanks.
Ben will be the future pastor. All right, go ahead, take a seat, Ben. Careful there, Ben. Okay. Okay, so we're going to have to be careful here who comes next. Well, after a while came Easter, and Ben said, Mom and Dad, would you please come to church on Easter? Good people. But they said, yeah, sure, it's Easter. Why not? So then Tim and Amanda came. This is Ben's mom and dad. Everybody welcome Tim and Amanda. Now be awful careful on those chairs. If it's dangerous, just... Dennis will take care of you. He's the resident hugger. Oh, the table's moving. All right, thank you. All right. So then, Ethan
Is Ethan supposed to be at the table? Oh, Ethan. Come on up, Ethan. I forgot Ethan. Sorry, buddy. Ethan came with his mom and dad. All right? Everybody say hi to Ethan. Oh, man. I left you out, buddy. I'm sorry. Hello, Ethan. Doing good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Our resident hunter. It's your job to put food on the table. Ethan invited Scott and Amy. Ethan invited Scott and Amy Bickerstaff to come. He, a student at the school, invited his teachers to come to church with him. Hey, Scott. Hey, Amy. Have a seat if you dare. Have a seat if you dare. Now, the table is full. This is what God wants. A full table. Last week, we had a small table, which came from 308 Stillwater. Buy your furniture there. What? 304. I think 308 is the hospital. You're not kidding. You're not getting any furniture there. The only furniture place on, anyways. And they gave it away. They gave the table, and they said to Paul, find somebody in need that could use the table. And so we gave it to our friends from Colorado that traveled here to be Bible college students. So they got a brand new table from the Stillwater. That was a good little table. That's what this church was in 1924. It was a good little table. But God kept sending people in the church to be inviters because God said, that's good, I want that table full, but I've got a much bigger table for to be filled. Why? Because as many people as are hungry and needing of God, God will continue to build the table. And ladies and gentlemen, thank God, that represents Charleston Church now. But I've got news to tell you, we're going to need more tables because there's more people and God has more supply. All it took was one couple to hear the call. Actually, what it took was some very athletic mega sports camp coaches. Steve Bean and others that took... Whoa, I'm going way back now. They were people who took time off from work and helped little children learn how to throw the ball, cheerlead, kick the ball. All of them took time to have Bible studies with these little children, which made an impact on one family. And look at the impact that one family had, not just on the rest of the family. There's a whole bunch of kids and grandkids and eventually great grandkids that are represented there. Come on, somebody. It only takes one person to start filling a table. Come on, let's give God thanks. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. You can stay there if you want, Dennis. Sure, that's a comfortable seat. You can stay there if you want.
It's 308. I thought you were
going to
shoot at
it. No, 308, yeah. I was thinking about it, though. Sorry, I didn't take the coat off for drama. That's about 185 degrees in that cheap $30 coat I bought. I'll never wear that again. Thank you, guys. And that's one family of many families. Who led Steve Bean to the Lord? Noah. Well, look at me. Every one of you. And I know the elephant in the room. I can't do that. I'm not qualified. That's the elephant in the room. I don't know enough Bible. I haven't been going to church long enough. I don't know anybody that's not saved. I don't talk good. I don't have a great past. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China from the mid-1800s to the early 1900s, when he first went, there was a handful of missionaries. When he left, over 25,000 people in a staunchly communist country came to Christ under his mission's emphasis. Before he left, there were almost 900 missionaries in China. I read in the news today that the Chinese government blew up a megachurch of 50,000 people in China. Persecution is taking place in the world. It's just not on your social media feed. But he went there and did a great work. When he was back in London, a one-legged school teacher said to Hudson Taylor, I want to go with you on the mission field. Hudson Taylor said, why? Why would you go with one leg with me to be a missionary in China? She said, because too many people with two legs won't go. Why is it that the enemy wants to make every one of you feel like that you don't have what it takes to simply tell people there's a table prepared? Jesus wants to get involved in your life. Why don't you? Because the enemy wants to make you feel that way. Greg, there are too many people with two legs that do work that won't go for you not to go. And he does. He works evangelism, works fusion, shares the gospel with Christ. He'll tell you. He starts talking to people about Christ and they won't leave because how dare they? You've got to be a real heel to walk away from a guy in a wheelchair sharing Jesus with you. It takes one person. If you're 70 years old, you must share Christ with people because there are people that are 25 that don't. If you're 20 years old, you have to share the gospel with Christ of Christ with people because there's 50-year-olds that won't. As a church, collectively, we have to be inviters because there are not enough churches that will. We're not better than any, and there are some that do. But we've got to get better and better and better at being inviters because we're talking about eternal life. There are people that want forgiveness. It's found at the table when they meet Jesus. People want healing. It's found at the table when they meet Jesus. People want a purpose. It's found when they get to the table and meet Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we have to be paid to be inviters. In fact, I think it ought to be automatic. Come see somebody. Come meet somebody that has changed my life. Well, I don't know. I'm a Christian, but am I called to do it? Every Christian's called to do it. Let me read you some scriptures. I'm almost done. Musicians, if you come, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus called out to them and said, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That includes Maine. Come on, give me a good amen. Would you please right there? 1 Corinthians 9:19. Even though I'm a free man with no master, Paul said, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Paul said, when I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. In one verse, he says he wants to bring many, and another verse, he says some. One soul is worth more than all the silver and gold in the world, is it not? So whether it be hundreds or one, I pray today at least one person. You're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ. You don't live for Him. You don't talk to Him. You don't have that relationship with Him. Before the service is over, I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Whether it be one or a dozen, every soul matters. James 5:19. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, please hear this. We're not just called to reach people who've never come to Christ. We're called to reach people who have drifted from Christ. You can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. You know, when the kids were little, it's nauseating to talk that way, but when the kids were little, my wife is the cook in the family, obviously. And she'd be in there cooking, especially if we're at camp or wherever, and she'd be working hard in the kitchen, and I'm working hard to get ready. Come on, ease up a little bit. I've just preached and I can feel conviction coming in on you. And that's good. I'm glad you feel convicted. I don't apologize for that. But I'm going to tell you, God didn't convict you because you can't do it. God's convicting you because you need to do it. Amen. You can do this. Dennis and Marisha did it. Anybody can do it. Really. If you care. And I know you do. And so, especially if you have friends over at the house, everybody's running around. And my wife would say to one of the kids, especially if other family was over, she'd say to one of the kids, go out and tell them supper is ready. It's on the table. So one of the little children, just imagine if it was Micah, if he's 4 or 5 years old, just running out. He didn't cook the meal. He didn't buy the meal. He has no authority in the house. But the authority of the house told somebody in the house to tell everybody around the house that there's a food inside the house. And he didn't have to run around saying, well, on the authority of my mother. He didn't have to say, I'm an ordained inviter. He didn't say, because I have a bachelor's degree in evangelism. He didn't say, because I've been in church this long. He didn't say, because I have a talent. He didn't say any of that. All he knew was that there was a woman in the house that had prepared a meal for everybody outside the house, and he, on her authority, went out in that authority and said, hey, if you want to eat, come on in. The supper is ready for you. Come in. That's what we're all called to do. That's all we got to do is invite them to the table. You have authority. The Bible says that Jesus said, the Father sent me. Do you realize that Jesus left heaven and came to the earth to walk among men? And Jesus said, as the Father sends me, so I send you. How many of you here today know without a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die in a moment's notice, you would go to heaven? Stretch your hand straight up and high. All right, you can put it down. Every person who raised their hand has been given authority to be an inviter. I've read enough scripture and I have many, many more that I could say to you. Now, obviously, the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes us even more powerful in our witness. But unless you're willing to be an inviter, the Holy Spirit won't move in. I believe that there are people who would be baptized in the Holy Spirit today if they would make a decision that I would be baptized so that I can be a greater inviter. You know why Kanye West is so followed? Why is it that Kanye West has more influence on our culture than the church? Some of you are like, Kanye who? I don't know who else to tell you. Hank Williams? I don't know who you like. I don't know who you like. Take your pick. But I'll use Kanye. You know why? Because Kanye believes what Kanye believes. Kanye believes what Kanye says. And he has people around him that believe what he says. And whether it's right or wrong, people believe it. Because those people believe it. This table is prepared. This table is prepared. I love it. This table actually came from Key Bank. Duran Mailman got this for us, and we're trying to find a room that we can put this table in and have big meetings around it. But then my wife contacted Alexis, and Alexis got all this stuff prepared for the table. You know, the bigger the table, the more work there is. Yeah, all the men are like, huh? I didn't know that. Hey. Me neither. I've never done it myself. Looks easy. But the bigger the table, the more work it takes. Have you ever been somewhere and it didn't look like they were ready for you? Knock on the door. Oh, wait a minute. They're in their bathrobe. It's 2 p.m. You ever been to a store and didn't look like they were ready for you? Been to a restaurant, you had to clean your own table off? Doesn't seem like anybody was prepared. They didn't expect any customers. You know what I love about Charleston Church is that every Sunday we're getting better and better and better. When people drive in on a snowy weekend, there's guys out there with big coats and hats smiling, saying whatever spirit tried to attack you all week, we want to come at you with peace and tell you you're welcome here. If the world hated you, God loves you. Welcome to the table of Charleston Church. That's what you call preparing the table. When they walk in, there's ushers opening the door, shaking hands, smiling, happy. Not always getting smiled back at. And because we know there's some people that just won't smile or look at you when you come at church, we're going to position people intentionally. We got ushers that care. We got hospitality. We've got security. Keep the place safe. With people that just care, people that are working hard. It's our job to invite them. It's our job to make it feel like when they come to church, we're actually looking for them. Come on, somebody. I think we ought to thank God for all the hospitality team that works around here without a lot of gratitude that they get. I got so much else to say. Maybe it'll bleed over into tonight. Let me pray. I don't know what I want to say next. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to two great groups of people here today. I pray for people that have a zeal and a hunger. They're getting awakened to the fact that their life matters. And that if they just invite one, we never know what that will lead to. I believe it'll be filled rows. We'll start with filling a seat, then we'll fill a row, then we'll fill a section. Thank you, Lord, that there's enough food to go around to satisfy the thirsty and the hungry, the broken, the hurting, the wounded, the lost, the empty. Lord, I pray for those that are here today that are empty. They've visited today. They visited before, but God, they haven't got this relationship with you. I pray today that you give them the boldness to make a decision to do that in your mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to say this, and it's rather relevant. We look at people, and we say, oh, there's no way those kind of people would come to Christ. They're so involved in so many other things. But, watch. How many have ever had cube steak? Everybody, welcome to Maine. Cube steak. I don't know if you remember the day, but somebody got you to leave cube steak to upgrade to a sirloin. Oh, bless his holy and wonderful name. Hallelujah. He did create all things good. Then one day, maybe you upgraded. Somebody said, hey, try ribeye. My Lord, I'm hungry. Try ribeye. Oh, that's so much better than cube steak. To me, at least. Unless you fry it. Nothing better than fried, like deep fried. Anyways. And somebody said, hey, let's try this T-bone. Oh, the half has never been told. And then somebody says, oh, you think that's good? Try some prime rib. Woo! You know what? It won't be hard to talk you into setting aside a cube steak if you find out there's a prime rib available for you. I'm preaching really good right now, and I know it's the witching hour and people want to get out, but you got to hang in there for a minute. And I'm going to say something, and I won't go into detail, but I think it's worth talking about because God's talking to me about some things that are happening nationwide that I believe is a spiritual component. I may deal with it tonight. But let's talk about Robert Kraft. Worth $6 billion caught in a very sinful, immoral, filthy sin. And you watch as the hypocritical media crucifies him. Bunch of hypocrites living ungodly lifestyles, but for ratings. This morning, the Holy Ghost says you need to go to prayer because this could be the very moment that Christ comes into Robert Kraft's life and saves him, cleans him up, and gives him hope for eternal life that billions of dollars will never satisfy. Come on. Come on. Don't be so earthly minded that you don't see the spiritual component here. Sin is never satisfied. I think it's unfortunate, and I'm not preaching against the man. My heart goes out to him. The church's heart should go out to him. Because if $6 billion and all the pretty women in the world won't satisfy, it's only proof that the old sin nature, no matter how much you feed it, it will never say that's enough. It will continually want more until you destroy yourself. I pray today, I pray, Lord, today, I said, if Robert Kraft walked through the doors of this church, I would walk up to him and I'd say, Mr. Kraft, it's not too late. There's a seat for you at the table. Come on. Oh, good. I'm glad I shocked you a little bit. Because there are people that live right near you that have the same problems. Just not on as big a scale. And what broken people need that you work with, live near, are related to, is to know that there's still an empty seat. It's there for you. You may have not realized that what you've been eating in the world, though it satisfies for a moment, is killing you. But guess what? All you need is one encounter with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden you begin to realize there is something that satisfies my soul. For Jesus said to the woman at the well, you can drink this world's water, but it will leave you thirsty. But if you have a relationship with God, He'll give you continual contentment, continual joy. Come on, somebody. Continual strength. Why don't you trade that cube steak for the ribeye of heaven? Is there anybody here that says, there's nothing greater in the world than being in the presence of a holy God that heals, forgives, delivers, and sets free? Then it's time to stop being quiet about what we've been enjoying and start telling the world you can enjoy it too. Is there a card in front of you? Yeah, Dave, come here. Give me a mic. Can I have your mic? Come here. Come here. Come on, man. Hold that right up there.
My name's Dave, and the Lord has come to me. My brother Bill brought me in here from the prison up on top of the hill. This morning, I had great time up there with the gentlemen that were up there.
You went to the prison and did a Bible study.
I did. And the Lord gave me this. I am so thankful for living for the Lord. I thank this whole church and everybody else. If it wasn't for the Lord.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good, man. I'm really proud of you. You're a good man. Bill and Linda, who brought you here? God. Well, that blows my theology right there. I kind of screws that up. What's that? You came here on a Wednesday. A guy was here plowing snow. Sky was? Time to get him back to work. And you talked to Sky? So Sky was your inviter. Phew. Thank the Lord for Sky. And then you invited Linda. Linda didn't want to come to church. But she did. She came to Christ the first Sunday she came. When Paul was preaching. I love it. Everybody who preaches here, other when I'm not, sees people getting saved. You know why? Because it's not the platform. It's the Holy Spirit responding to inviters. Everybody can do this. Yeah. And Dave, Paul was preaching when you got saved. You want to pick this up? No, I'm going to just step out of the way. It's awesome. No, praise God for that. Praise God for this. This isn't a one-man show. They buried the one-man show a long time ago. Those days don't exist anymore. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up. And Dave was met by Bill in the prison right here in this town. Came up, picked him up Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night. Now Paul Dunphy, who's the chaplain there full time, brings men with blue shirts here every single Sunday night after Sunday night. Look at what God can do. He'll take a man who's in prison, sit him at the table while he's in prison. Some of you in a prison, you just don't have the blue shirt to prove it. You're in the prison of your own fear, the prison of your own past, the prison of your own weakness, the prison of your own religion, the prison of your own pride. But he came to Jesus while in prison clothes. And today God took that man who was a prisoner and he made him a preacher and put him on a platform at the prison. Come on, somebody. We can praise him a whole lot better. Come on, let's give God thanks. He's an inviter maker. Praise God. Not everybody's David. Not everybody's Dennis or Marisha. Not everybody's Paul. But everybody is somebody. And because there are those who don't, you must. Is there a card in front of you in that rack? Is there a card that's like a prayer card? Would that be in there? Can anybody? I haven't seen one yet. Is there a card there? Hold it up high once you got it. It should have, like, you can write names on it for prayer. Everybody got one? If you don't have one, take that. That's yours. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to take those cards and write names on them of people that you want to invite and start by prayer. You don't have to pray, Lord, will you save them? God already has decided that. You're going to pray, Lord, give me wisdom or give somebody else the insight to speak to their heart. Have you got it? That's yours. Take it home. Pray over it. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Who's here today? Who's here today that, as I told you earlier, I'd give this invitation. Everybody around you that's serving God had a date and time and place that they can point back to and say, that's where and when God got in my life. And today, I want to have a starting point of faith. It's one thing to have faith and believe in God, but that's not enough, the Bible says. The Bible says if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, then you can have that distance between you and God removed and you have direct communion with God. I'm telling you, when God calls you to Him, He's calling you, I'm warning you, to make a wonderful change in your life. There's going to be changes. Some people say, come to Him, you don't know. He's going to make some changes, but they're the changes you've been wanting. They're the changes you've been needing. Today is your opportunity to invite Christ into your life. Just a moment, I'm going to give you that opportunity. I'll tell you what will happen. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as a sign of commitment before God. Yes, I want to pray that prayer. And then I'm going to ask for the opportunity to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Hundreds of people have done this in these altars over the years. And God's just the same today as He ever was. Your family needs it. Your children needs it. Your parents need it. You have no idea the people that God has in mind when He gets involved in your life. And maybe the difficult life you grew up in bothers you. But I'm going to tell you, the next generation doesn't have to have the same experience because faith is coming into your life and it will change your family and it will change the people you get to know. If that's you today, you say, when you pray that prayer, I want to pray it with you, preacher. Just slip your hand up nice and high and I'll know that it was you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Who else? Nice and high. Don't be ashamed. Wonderful. Praise God. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? I want to pray that prayer. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to walk out knowing that I'm serving the Lord. All right, everyone stand with me if you would please. Those that raise their hand are raising their hand out of a commitment, a fresh commitment to God. So we're going to pray that prayer together today. Let's pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I receive a fresh commitment, a renewed walk with you. I give my life to you. I don't want there to be any distance. I want to serve you completely. So thank you. I get to start over again today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want us to pray this prayer together because I believe it's the heart of the people today. It's the soul winner's prayer. Every person that wants to be a soul winner, an inviter, I want you to pray this prayer with me, all right? Let's pray it this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. I would be lost without hope of eternity if you didn't send someone into my life. I'm thankful forever for their obedience. Now, Lord, I want to be the one I want to be the inviter. I want to make a difference. Please use me to reach people. I receive the boldness of the Holy Spirit to be supernaturally natural. I want my faith to shine. I want it to show what you're doing in my life. I don't need the attention. I want to reflect you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me till I'm overflowing with your power to shine forgiveness, redemption, healing, a new beginning, hope, and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin to lift up our voice right now and just begin to praise God while we're in His presence, would you? Everybody, would you do it? Everybody? The presence of the Lord is what does this work in our lives. And we have to have Him. So everybody, would you just lift your voice, begin to praise Him. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. I just need about 5 or 10 minutes with folks. It's okay. But if you can stay, I just want to spend a little time in God's presence. He inhabits the praises of His people. Begin to thank Him right now that He's using you. Come on. He didn't save you just for you. He saved you for people. He saved you for others. He saved you for the lost. Begin to praise and magnify Him. Glorify Him. Come on, let's just praise Him.
I decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back.
Come on, let's pray that as our dedication to the Lord. Everybody can sing it today.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back.
Come on, sing it.
No turning back.
Right to the Lord. Tell Him this.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Just the voices of God's people sing, I have decided. Sing it, saints.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Come on, one more time, then we've got a special prayer. Friends, come on.
I have decided I'm following Jesus,
not this world.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Now I want us to pray for our loved ones right now. Just begin to call their name out to the Lord. Come on, out of your heart. Those that have needed to have gone, and you've got time to spend with God. That's okay, I get that, I'm fine. But just begin to call out those names. Call out the name of your children, your parents. Just come on, Lord, touch these people. God, you know my personal list. You know those people that I call their name to you every day. God, I pray for those people that are close to my heart. God, I put my faith with the people that are in this place. Some of the greatest concerns that people walk in here with week after week are those people that they know that are not heaven ready. Those people they know that sin is damaging their lives. And God, we find that's totally unnecessary. It's unnecessary for one man or woman to be damaged by sin. It's not necessary. You've provided the healing, the removal of all sin. All pain in this world is a sin influence. I'm not saying all pain is sinners. I'm just saying, Lord, sin brought in all this stuff. But God, we thank you today that those lives don't have to be broken anymore. I pray for parents who have addicted children. In the name of Jesus, break the spiritual bonds of addiction over their family members. Lord, I pray for family members who have emotional and mental attacks. I pray the peace of God that passes all understandings begin to flow through our lives. I pray for family members who are those that are depressed and they're under the chains, the chokehold of depression. I pray in the name of Jesus, the light of God's glory, the light of joy flows through us, Lord, that other people might see what we have and want it. I pray, Lord, for those that have been damaged through whatever religious situation that they've been through, and it's caused them to get their eyes on people, not on you. I pray, Jesus, shine through us in such a pure way that people will begin to get their eyes off what was done and begin to realize you're still the Lord of the church. I thank you for that today. We pray for our loved ones that are sick in their body, but they don't know you. Lord, I think that it'd be a wonderful witness that when we pray, when we lay hands on those that are sick, that they be healed. I think that would be a mighty witness to them in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you for staying. I sense a real strength in prayer today. I want us to pray for Diane Churchill. Dave and Diane are a great part of our church. I think I saw Mark over here today, their son, Mark. Is that Mark over there? Is that you, Mark? Okay, buddy. I love you, man. His mom is desperately sick. The leukemia in her body, and the doctors aren't giving her any hope. They really are not giving her any hope. And so they're saying days, but this is where God needs a church that says when people say there's no hope, no hope, that's where God's people say there's hope when we pray. There's hope when we pray. Would you together with me pray that this disease that's in Diane's body, that God would just go in there and do something like only God can do and remove it in the name of Jesus. Would you lift a hand to heaven? I trust your prayers. I've seen a lot happen because of them. Would you pray, whether you know her or not, would you call her name Diane? Lord, I pray for Diane Churchill today. God, we're a people of faith. And God, this is where people of faith shine. This is where people of faith step in when others don't know what to do, don't know what to say, don't know what to think. We know what to do. We know to pray. We know what to say. In the name of Jesus, you send your word and heal our disease. We know what to think, that you are the sovereign God today. So Lord, in your sovereign power, Lord, in your mighty power of your word, God, we agree together. You said that one person's prayer can get a lot done. But you said when we come into agreement, there is power that is released from heaven. Lord, this is your daughter. This is your child. This is our sister in the Lord that we love very much. God, we call collectively upon the name above every other name. And pray now in Jesus' name. Every cancerous cell, stop. Every source of disease, be disconnected. And Lord, we pray where there's sickness, there's healing. A flow of heavenly glory come into her body. And God, what the doctors cannot do, God, oftentimes is the beginning of what you do. We pray, Lord, by faith. We pray because we've seen it happen before. And so we're going to stand on the grounds of faith, because the word is the place that we build our faith from. We know what your Bible has to say. I pray for the people of this church that are connected to us. Bring a revival of bodily healing into our church. Come on, help me pray, church. Lord, let there be a revival of bodily healing. There are too many of your people ill, sick in their body. God, we're not looking for entertainment. We're not looking to say, look at us, Lord. We're calling on you to do what you do, Lord. Pour out your spirit in a mighty and a powerful way so that a generation can see the mighty works of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's begin to thank God right now what He's about to do, and we're going to go and eat some lunch.